We're in the Maamar Shlishi. We're in the middle of Lamed Tes, which is page 92 in your print. The Kuzari, the Chavar, had discussed the Shita of the Karoim, so now he turns to discuss the Shita of the Torah, our Messiah, and he breaks it up, as we learned yesterday, into three time periods. He said there's the time period of the Midbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu taught directly what was given down from Sinai. I mentioned yesterday the Netziv who said that there was no Pilpula, no Chiddush through Pilpula Deraisa in the Midbar, because everything that was given from Moshe had to be known to come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the first time period. The second time period is when the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael. There was a time of Nevuah and of a high level of Ruach HaKadosh, what he called Shar HaKitais, the other groups of great people in Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, in that second Tekufa, there was an ability to make a Takana Derabanan. He mentioned things like Purim and Chanukah. He mentioned the Tils Yadayim and Erev, rules that we make a bracha. The Gemara asked the Kasha, how do you make a bracha on Chanukah? What is that Shekidisharim Saisavitzivanu? And we understand that the Torah commands to listen to the Rabbanans. And now we're up to what he describes as the third Tekufa, the post-Nevuah Tekufa, which started halfway through the Bayis Sheni. And during this time period, he's saying that when the Rabbanan make rules, we don't make a bracha shekisharim saisavitzivanu on rules that the Rabbanan made up during this stretch. From when after Nevuah ended, about 40 years or so into the Bayis Sheni. When Nevuah came to an end, and it's a Drabanan, we're up to the last two lines here, page 92. Ilu Hoyu.
Even though Chanukah was after that.
Yes, so he means post-Chanukah. Chanukah was actually about 200 years in, roughly 200 years in. Ilu Hoyu, Chikinu, Yoitzim Achar HaGolos Laya Nikro Mitzvis. Chukenu. Yoitzim Achar HaGolos Laya Nikro Mitzvis. Layunu Chayavin Lavarech Aleya. What came after that time period, we don't call mitzvis. We're not going to make a bracha. Chayoyim Rebehem, Shem Takana Oiminig. So that's what we call Takana, we call Minig. I mentioned this example yesterday, the blowing of Shofar during the month of Elul. We don't make a bracha when we do that, or a number of the other, what?
It's a minig, not everybody does that.
It's a minig, okay, so it's a minig that we consider it an obligation for Shulchan Aruch for ourselves. There are I don't know, when did the Sfaradim blow Shofar now? Do they? Do Sfaradim blow? Not at all. Okay. So I need an example that the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim both keep. You do more slichas, we do more shayfer, okay. Alright, so I'm not sure what's universal that was made as a set rule later. Certainly, being Menaneah the Luliv, which everyone does, we don't make a bracha Nilu'ah Luliv, although it's done within Hallel in the context of Hallel. So, I don't know. Can I say dipping the apple in honey? I wouldn't call that a drabana. It's a simana v'alma. So I don't know. You're right. It seems like different groups in Klal Yisrael have different minhagim when it comes to this. I don't know. Maybe the laning of the Megillah would be an example on, outside of Purim. Laning Shir Hashirim, Kehelas, we don't make a bracha. It was probably a minute that came later. Although there may be some who do, I don't know if the real Gronniks do or they don't. But there are such Menhagim and Klal Yisrael that don't have a bracha.
The Kriya or Simchas Torah is not in the Mishnah.
The Kriya of Simchas Torah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And we have a what?
He says, like, the Kriya on Simchas Torah. Okay, I mean, there's no bracha to be made there, so it's not a good example. But, okay. At any rate, he goes on to say, V'roiv mitzvaseinu smuchais al Moshe alocha mishum Sinai. Most of our mitzvahs go to Moshe Alocha Mishum Sinai. Chayri Roy Sheyia. Now here he explains, this is really, as you'll see, a jab at the Karoim. What he's saying is that we have the Sefer Torah that was given at Sinai. For 40 years, 39 years, Jews in the Midbar studied that. Now I mentioned to you yesterday the question, as to, well, if Moshe heard everything from Har Sinai, why did he hear at the Ayel Moed? Right? It says that he heard the sound of Hashem from between the Kruvim. There is an opinion that the later parts of the Torah were given then, but there's an opinion that was all given at Sinai. Kol Masha Talmud Vasek Asal Tzchadesh. All parts of Torah given to Moshe at Sinai. So he explains the following. He says, imagine, you have a whole nation of people that doesn't have to go to work for 40 years in the Midbar. They don't have to spend money on clothing. They don't have to go looking for an apartment or building homes. Now, when they're there, what did they do? Can anyone think? Is it possible that they studied Torah for 40 years in the Midbar? They had no disputes. They had no questions. They had no arguments. Not possible. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught the laws of Hashem and His Torah. Now you're teaching the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and you're saying it's your wisdom. Obviously, they thought into it, and they had to ask questions. So it can't be, as the Quran say, that it's a Sefer Torah, and everything else you're free to do as you choose. Misha writes, Allahachziv, HaPosik HaZer, Yira, Inyan HaKraim. Those who deny that Klal Yisrael studied the wisdom of Torah will be Karaim. Misha writes, Allahamim, Ba'yira, Chachmas HaMishnah VaGemara. As someone who understands will understand that already in the Minbar, the Chidushim that we call Mishnah and Gemara were already promulgated. They weren't written, but they were already being discussed. These are subtitles for different categories of laws of the Torah. And it's appropriate for the Chachma that comes from the Midbar to be our pride. And this nevuah continued 850 years when they entered Eretz Yisrael, 70 years of the Chorban, and 40 years after, which is a total of 930 years after entering Eretz Yisrael, that nevuah continued. Yirmiyah and his nevuah foretold the people of the Bayis Sheni, Chisidusam, Chochmasam, Yerasam. V'mloy nismach alayla, al mi nismach. So therefore he's saying,
what kind of machlokas could
there have been in the Midbar? So it's important to understand, there is a Yerushalmi which Tosis quotes a Chagiga, that the machlokas on whether you do smicha on an animal, take of the smicha shchita, is the first machlokas among the Jewish people. Not if you do smicha, but the rules of the smicha, Nashim smichas rishos, was the first machlokas. And it's absurd. It's not possible that the first day they sat down to learn, they had no machlaikas. There were always machlaikas. And for example, the Gemara tells us about a machlaikas between David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech. They had a dispute if Mekadesh b'milva upruta mekudeshes. It's interesting, the halacha, the Gemara discusses if you Mekadesh an isha with money that's owed. You tell a woman, look, you owe me $1,000, I'll forgive you the $1,000 loan, and with that I want to be married to you. That doesn't work. You have to give a woman something she'll have benefit from now. So you have to give her a ring, you have to give her a dollar. So the Gemara has an argument. What does he go to over to a woman? You say, I'm a kaddish you with this gift, and I forgive the $1,000 as well. The man goes over to a woman and says, I'm a kaddish you with both together. Does that work? Now that sounds like splitting hairs, and that machlokes must have started with Chaim Brisco or something. It's not true. It's a Gemara. But it's way before the Gemara. Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech had this argument. Now how do we know that? We have no record of the Torah study of those generations. But we know it from a story. Because David married Michal, the daughter of Shaul. And as the Kedushin, he gave her something very romantic. He gave her the Arlois of Pelishtim, the foreskins. That Shaul said, you want to marry my daughter? Got to bring me 100 foreskins of Pelishtim. Now, the only way to get a foreskin from a Pelishti is to cut it off. Now, they probably were not willing to undergo and may not have been covered insurance-wise either. So Shaul wanted to get David killed, right? David, he wanted, you know, David, go get 100 So David, you know, he showed it to him. He brought him 300 foreskins of the Pelishtim. The Gemara asks, what's that worth? The Gemara says, Chazi l'shunra. It's worth, you can give it as cat food. It's worth money. So David was Mekandish Michal with these foreskins, plus when he killed Goliath, he was owed a treasure. Shaul promised a great amount of wealth to the one that killed Goliath. So he was Mekandish with the two together. So Shaul said, Mekandish Milva Pruta, you do that, not Mekudeshes. David said, Mekandish Milva, it is Mekudeshes. It was a Machlaikis. It's the nature of Torah study that there'll be disputes. And it has to be that way. The Torah, hi chach maschem, ubi naschem, lehineham. So there was no machlaikis lehalocha until the smicha machlaikis. You have Moshe Rabbeinu to paskin, and Moshe Rabbeinu would get the psak from the Rabbeinu Shalaylam, and you had the devua, you had the Sanhedrin. So until the time of, towards the end of the Bayi Sheni, there was no lasting machlaikis lehalocha. I'm sorry. I don't accuse them of Negias. Well, David had no Negias, because David could have married her with just the Arlas Pelishtim.
Right.
So his Psak came first.
Shaul, okay.
You know, I'm afraid to start up with Shaul. You know, it says that one of the Amiraim made fun of Menashe, the evil king. That night, in his sleep, he came to him and scared the wits out of him. So don't start off with Shaul. Perhaps. So,
Rabbi used to interpret and say, with the brothers and Jason, what do you mean? They had a bestin. They had a bestin in the posse of the Jason. So that the Gias
would be the Gias. Okay, we could certainly say that. Okay. Well, what I mean to say just is the point that Kuzari is making, that there were disputes. And there were always disputes. It's the nature of Torah study that there will be disputes. And when there's a Sanhedrin, they paskin. Nowadays, there's no Sanhedrin, so we have machleksim lahaloch. Now, he goes on to explain. So these are three periods in our history. Kva'anu rayim, mashenik v'achrei maisha, v'haysa mitzvah, k'maisha asa shleima. And here he starts getting on thinner ice. He says, we see that in the post-Moshe Rabbeinu period, new rules were made. Now listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu said, a carbon oil is only on the Mizbeach. Shlaima HaMelech made a tremendous celebration at the time the Beis HaMikdash was inaugurated. There's just not enough room on the Mizbeach for all the carbonis. So he gave the courtyard, the inner sanctum courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the holiness of a Mizbeach. They brought carbonis by the thousands, all over the place. He made a new rule. Plus, he also made a celebration of Chanukah HaMizbeach 14 days. The first seven were before Sukkot. The second seven were Sukkot. And for 14 days, they celebrated. Now, if you're very brilliant, you'll realize that the 7 days before Sukkot include Yom Kippur. And Shaul HaMelech said, let's party on Yom Kippur. The Beis HaMikdash is worth it. And what the Gemara says in Vayikat, this brought here in the footnote, is that Rabbi Yochanan said, they made no Yom Kippur. They weren't worried. You know, at the time they did it, they did it. And they're worried a year without Yom Kippur. Maybe we got in trouble for this. And Gemara says they made a kal v'chaymer. Ma'adach the Mishkan, which is only temporary. You mechal Shabbos to bring karbanis. So the Beis HaMikdash is permanent, and Yom Kippur is less serious than Shabbos. Certainly. Shlomo HaMelech. The wisest of all men. So he did it. So the Kuzari is saying, so you see they made new rules. Now he says that the shir, the songs in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm quoting again from the notes of the Eitzer Nechman, the mitzvah to sing in the Beis HaMikdash, he says, was new at the time of David. He quotes here in Ibn Ezra, who says Al Yala Lipcha Davar Shir Shahi Beveis Hashem Ayde David Ki Kemay Tikun Haya. It was David's Takana. David. Now listen to the words of the Ibn Ezra. It bothers him how they can make new things. He says, "Agoyin Omar." The Ibn Ezra quotes an unnamed guy. Kabbalah haisa biyadam mipi Maisha ki melech yakum biyachadish klishir. That a Kabbalah for Maisha Rabbeinu, that a king will come and begin the practice of songs. Now Reb Chaim is very excited. He's going to find me a pasuk.
Yeah, I'm looking for the
Sheres could mean to serve. What? It says a machlekes in the Gemara of ikashira bepeh or ikashira bekli. Machlekes in the second parak in Sukkah. What do we say?
It says Hayom Yom whatever
Shabbo Yeah, we've noticed. It says the song that the Levim Hayu Omrim Bebeis Hamikdash that they said. A good friend of mine, Rabbi Blum, Matis Blum, put out the Torah Ladas at a time that there weren't all these papers around. So he once wrote that it's possible the Levim didn't sing; they only chanted. They chanted like Jack and Jill. I don't mean to bring it to Jack and Jill, but Jack and Jill went up a hill. That's not really a song; it's a chant. So he wrote Halavim Hayu Omrim Bebeis Hamikdash. So he suggested that. So in the following issue, he had to issue a retraction of sorts because he got a lot of complaints. Because the Gemara says they used musical instruments. But at any rate, the point of the Kuzari now, this is going to get him into trouble. The king is going to pounce on him. He's saying that in the second period, after the Moshe Rabbeinu period, in the Eretz Yisrael period, they did enact certain new things. And he keeps on going. When Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, it didn't resemble the Mishkan. Certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, he buried. The crushim, the beams that we read about in Truma, Shlomo didn't use those. Some he kept and some he didn't keep. We had this in Shulchan Aruch. Ezra made a takana. That even a poor Jew has to give at least a third of a shekel a year. Now, a third of a shekel is not a whole lot of money. A third of a shekel is about 200 and it's 192 plus 64 or 256 prutas, which works out to a pruta every day you're allowed to give money outside of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Ezra made a takana to give tzedakah every day. Another chiddush. In the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no Aron. And still, they made a Kodesh HaKadoshim. They put up a Pareiches. So he's saying like this. He's saying, Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the Torah. There were machlaiksim and rules. And even later, people like David and Shlomo, Shmuel and Ezra made certain new rules. Now, of course, in Mem, the Kuzari, the king, says, 1 minute, you just told me that the Karaites can't come along and reinterpret things. So in La Mem, the king says, 1 minute, what's going on? You just told me that, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, we don't add to it and we don't take away from it. How did they add things? Now I have to tell you, the question is only half valid. Some things were temporary. Okay, I'm going to see. Some things were temporary. So that has nothing, is not a kasha. It's not like say simply sigra. The question is on the permanent enactments, such as shir, the singing of songs, or Ezra's takana, like the shir, the Beis Hamikdash, or Ezra's takana. Ezra made 10 takanas, Ezra made the 10 takanas, Nehemiah made Muktzah. Muktzah was Nehemiah's takana. So, there were no rules. So in Mem Aleph, next time, it's Thursday. What? Muktzah? You have a good kasha. It's a very good kasha. Nehemiah made Muktzah. That's what it says in the Gemara. The kasha is that when Shlomo HaMelech died, Shlomo said, am I allowed to move his body? So we see there was some element of Muktzah that was previous. Okay, so the Chassam Sefer has something he calls Kuntras HaMuktzah, And he explains that the things that are totally not usable, that type of muktzah always existed. The categories of muktzah, that's what the Gemara refers to, like hammers and pens and things like that, that came later. Cell phones, were not muktzah in the time of David HaMelech. Had they existed, they probably would have been, but... All right, so Mem Aleph, I'll keep you in suspense as to the answer until Thursday, Mitzvah.